Hey, this is Ali Ciardo with the Photo Field Notes podcast, and today I'm actually interviewing a fellow photography podcaster, Ben Hartley from Six Figure Photography. And Ben is talking about his own experiences as a photographer and some really unique ways to promote yourself and make your business stand out in a crowded market, which I know we all deal with and are always looking for new ideas in this area. So he's got some really fun ideas. And quick reminder, as always, you can go to photofieldnotes.com/crashcourse to get access to my 3-day free crash course on the 3 key steps that I use to build my 6-figure wedding photography business. So it's photofieldnotes.com/crashcourse to get access to that free course. All right, jump on and let's jump in.
Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
Hey, everybody, this is Ali Ciardo, and today I am talking with a fellow podcaster, Ben Hartley, who's the host of Six Figure Photography, the Six Figure Photography podcast, which I love, and he does just a great job, so definitely check it out. And he's also the founder of Style and Story, which is a photography company. So, Ben, we have a couple of different directions to go here, but we really want to talk about how you're standing out in this sea of photographers. So that's going to be our main topic. But before we get into that, I want to just start at the beginning, as much as you want to share. How did you even get into this crazy world of photography in the first place?
Yeah, for sure. Ali, thanks for having me here. This is a lot of fun. Okay. Man, I love this question. It's always, there's always like so far back, like you can go. Okay, so here we go. In college, I studied fine art. I was an oil painter in college. And this was great. This was fantastic, right? It was perfect. But I'm also from the Midwest, so Ohio. And the week after I graduated college, I married my wife. And then we went into full-time ministry. And so those three things combined alone, I want you to think about that for a hot second. Being an oil painter, it's surrounded by cornfields. Right? An oil painter just got married with a ton of student loans on both my wife's side and my side. And now I'm in ministry. And at the time, we were like trying to actually like raise support, like find churches to support us. Needless to say, things were really tight and really stressful, and we were trying to figure out any solution that we could to solve this problem of just living, right? And so that's the foundation that it all began. And so we actually had failed to raise support and go into ministry. We did not accomplish our goals. And so that's when we really were faced with like, uh-oh, what do we do? And so I ran after a number of things, Ali. I decided I wasn't just going to do one thing. I was going to like try 3 different avenues and see where it all fell. And so my first course of action was just to get a job as a server, right? It's like the backup job. Just like make sure that there's
like money right now.
Yes, exactly. Money right now, right? And so I did that. I also pursued a job as a graphic designer at a videography studio. And at the same time, Leslie looked at me one night and she's like, well, Ben, you were a fine art major. You're an oil painter. You've always been great at making things look good, right? And not only that, but like you love people. You have a very relational quality about you. What about wedding photography? And I was like, okay, let's just throw that on the board as well, and we'll pursue this. And so I pursued all 3 things, and as luck would have it, all 3 things started to kind of happen, right? I got the job as a server, I got the job as a graphic designer, and I, you know, started shooting portraits. And so that's really where it all began. And obviously decisions needed to be made because you can't do all 3 things, right? For about 4 years, I really went after the graphic design job. It was stable. It was a salary. It was secure. You know what I mean? It was a lot of fun. And I learned so much. Eventually, I felt like I really wanted to make this shift towards photography. And so I reached out to another photographer who had been really successful. They had really taken off in their career. They were a friend of mine, loosely. It was like an acquaintance kind of a thing. And so I had reached out to them, and they were killing it, right? And I think so many photographers relate to this. You know, right now maybe you're part-time, or you're just starting to shoot engagement sessions or portraits or your dog or stuffed animals on your bed. I don't know what it is, but you're just starting to pick up a camera, right? And you're like, man, who do I know that has done this before? Maybe I can reach out to them and ask them some questions. That was the exact same kind of mindset that I had. And so I called up this photographer, and I just wanted to understand a little bit more about this industry that we're in. And it was such a brief conversation, Allie. It was like the shortest call ever. But I've said this before, like, Allie, I've attended countless workshops and seminars and webinars, and I've read so many books, and, you know, I interview all these people on podcasts, and to this day, the words that were spoken to me on that phone call have been the most critical, the most essential, the most inspiring words that have brought me to where I am today, that have allowed me to build like the six-figure studio and have, you know, multiple photographers and everything else that we do. Do you want to hear them?
Okay, wait, stop right there. Yes. I just want to say that you are such a good storyteller, and you've already, you like weave this story in a way that I'm like, all right, let's hear it. Let's get to it. Yes, I want to hear the words.
So he just matter of fact, this is like word for word, direct quote, said to me, and I remember I was in like my little one bedroom apartment in Bowling Green, Ohio, like pacing up and down like the vinyl floor. And he tells me, he says, Ben, don't do it. You will only bring the industry down. Not everyone out there can just become a photographer. And
so he knew you personally.
Yes.
And you had been, now, side question kind of related to this, had you been doing photography throughout the time that you were also doing graphic design, or did you shift to focus completely on graphic design?
Yeah. So I had been doing it, but it was, you know, it's like everyone, not everyone else, but it's like so many of you out there who are listening right now, you're working a full-time job, and every now and then you've got a friend who says, hey, would you maybe take some portraits for me? And so, you know, I think at the time it was a Canon 7D. So it was a crop sensor camera, not that that has anything to do with it, but you know, I had just been dabbling. And this was kind of the call that I wanted to make before I really took the plunge and started to invest myself, my heart too, not just my time and energy and money, but like kind of invest my heart behind this idea of what would it look like to really chase after this, you know?
Yeah. So where did you go from there?
At that point, I decided that the absolute best thing that I could do to shove those words down his throat would be to become a successful photographer. That was nice. Exactly it. That became the most motivating driving force that I just had in the back of my mind moving forward, that I was going to do it. And not only I was going to do it, Ellie, the big thing was, and this probably was the most motivating part of what he told me, he didn't just say, don't do it, Ben. He didn't just say like, hey, you know, maybe take some time. He said, don't do it. He said, you will only bring the industry down. Like, I think his perception was that I would hurt his market or the overall market, or I don't know what it was. And so that's really actually where Six Figure Photography came from, and the podcast and my daily live videos on Facebook. It came from this notion that it wouldn't be enough for me to provide well for myself and my family and my team and my clients and serve people well, but I wanted to see the overall industry grow. I wanted to help others like completely rocket at their business and elevate the industry, right? And so anyhow, that's what happened. And the greatest part of this whole thing, by the way, fast forward 1 year, Allie, I want you to just take a random stab in the dark, just a wild guess. Who do you think called me a year later to see if he could hire me?
No.
Yeah.
Why? Okay, wait. So how does that come full circle?
That came full circle like because you know, being in a relatively similar market, a few hours away,
yeah.
Look, Allie, I can't sugarcoat it. I worked my butt off. Like, I worked my tail off, and I tried every possible thing. The amount of hours that I worked during that time was ludicrous, because I was working a full-time salary job 40 hours a week while building this thing. And so really quickly, within my first year, I had 40 weddings. And just wow. continually kept doubling prices. And so he was just aware of it, you know, and the work started getting really great, and the clients were coming in, and it was an opportunity to try to scoop me up and join the team before it got too far away. So anyhow, it was the greatest that I've ever gotten to tell someone, by the way. I digress.
That is a really fascinating story I can't believe that. Oh my gosh. So we could go in different directions. Obviously, there are two parts to this. One part is that you had to learn how to shoot photos. You had to actually produce quality work. You had to work with your clients in a way that you were showing that you were worth it. You were, you know, showing value, et cetera, et cetera. But since this podcast is not a day long, maybe we can come back to that another day. I want to dive into just the marketing side, because I know I can tell from having talked to you before and just listening to your podcast and seeing what you're out there doing, you're doing so much. And like you said, I can tell that you were working so hard. And I think that that's another thing that happens with building a photography business, because most people don't have the luxury of just building a photography business and being full-time from day one, where they can say, okay, I'm going to throw all my energy into this from day one. Most people have to make an income as they're building and then get to that point. So I went through the same thing, that kind of like craziness where I was like, something's got to give, and this is the direction that I went. So anyway, in building that, what did you do? You know, what do you think that you were doing differently that was working for you, that was bringing in clients?
So this is something that after I spent the first year, 2012 through 13, mid-13, completely focused on my craft and making excellent work. Maybe we'll say good work, because, you know, you just keep we'll say good work.
Much better work.
I became obsessed with the whole topic of attracting leads. How do you get leads in the door, right? How do you actually bring people? I mean, that's like the lifeblood of your business. If you have countless people knocking on your door, it really does two things for you. Number one is it obviously allows you to fill up your calendar, but it also allows you to increase your pricing. It's kind of like a supply and demand thing, right? The more people you have coming to your storefront, the higher prices you can have, and the more people you can afford to turn away based off of price, right? And you can begin to find your ideal client even faster that way. The other thing that I was really fascinated with, and I was kind of envious of, was working on this for just a hot second. I haven't actually expressed these thoughts before, so I'm gonna kind of develop them as I go. As a photographer, one of the things, especially as a wedding photographer, one of the things that I found so frustrating was if I wanted to test out my pricing, maybe adjust something one way or the other, or adjust the way that I wrote an email, or spoke to someone on the phone or held a meeting, right? The amount of opportunities that I would have to do that as a wedding photographer are so few. The numbers are so few to test, right? It's like you're lucky to get, you know, three people to contact you a week, you know what I mean? Like for wedding photography. And I would look at markets like McDonald's or whatever, and they could just like run the data just like that. You know, they could change the wording on their menu for a single day, and they could see the results. They could like see like, hey, we did this, and because we have a million people, this is what it looked like. And so I became kind of fascinated with how could I get as many people in the door as possible to keep thrashing and testing. And so I was always changing things all the time, just to see what would give the best results. So anyhow, I digress.
No, that's so good though.
As far as what we did from a marketing standpoint to get people in the door, goodness. From day one, I think the very first question that you should ask if you're just starting out in business, right? And this is true if you're just starting out or if you've just moved to a new location, is this question: who already has the clients that you want. People already have the clients that you want. There are other businesses that are non-competing, by the way, that already have your ideal client pouring into their door. They've already done all the work for you, right? And so I think it's one of the first questions that we should always ask ourselves when first starting out, first moving to a new market. Before I go try to reinvent the wheel, who already has the clients that I want? And how can I provide them value? That vendor, that partner, whoever it is, how can I provide them value and come alongside them and hopefully tap into their market? That is the first thing that you should do.
So give me a tangible example of how you did that in your business.
Yeah. So for starters, we moved to Columbus in 2014, we moved to Columbus, had never shot a wedding here in Columbus ever. The very first week that we moved down to Columbus, Columbus, Ohio, I spent the entire first week, Allie, researching all of the vendors that were here in town and trying to identify who, not just who existed, but who had my ideal client, which, by the way, I recognized that my ideal client wanted the best of the best. My ideal client, whether or not they had the money for it or not, they wanted the best of the best. And so, this is spending time looking at venues, at florists, at obviously planners, yes, but even as minute of like the baker, like the cake, like the cake artist. And I spent a week doing this. And I think what happens a lot of times are when we think about vendor partnerships, we don't think about it in terms of, like, we're always filtering our clients, right? We're always trying to identify, like, who's our ideal client, and we're going after them. But when it comes to vendors, we're very just like, me, like, hey, you're alive, you're walking, you have a dress shop, let's partner. And I get it, but at the same time, the vendors that you work with also refer back onto your brand, right? And so there's a very real reality that I don't want to be associated with certain vendors because they reflect back on my brand. And it's not that I'm not going to work with them, but I'm not going to pursue them, right? And so anyhow, I spent the first week doing that. And then I did something very different because most people at this point, you know, when they reach out to a vendor, is they send them an email or maybe they pick up the phone, I don't know, or a Facebook message. And they say something like, hey, you know, I would love to partner with you. Maybe I could come by and take some headshots, or maybe we can do a style shoot together, right? That's the big one in the wedding industry. Hey, I'm a photographer here in Columbus. I love your work, and I'd love to do a style shoot, you know, using your gowns. Do you know what I mean? That's the move.
All right, so going back to an earlier point that you made, you said that you spent about a year really focusing on your craft. So
yeah.
I think that it's important to highlight that you made sure that your work was worth it and that you were going in adding this amazing value for them and not using them just to practice your craft. Like, you already had that nailed, and then you were truly adding value versus being like, hey, I need to practice.
Yes, correct.
Can I practice on your hard work and your time?
Yes.
So anyway, continue.
By the way, that last script that I gave is not the script that I used. That's what everyone else does, right? Everyone else calls and says, hey, I like your work. Let's do a style shoot together. And the thing that you have to understand is you have to, like, have some empathy, put yourself in their situation. They're getting asked that all the time. And, like, let's be real, photographers, listen up. Style shoots, there's some vendors that still really appreciate and enjoy a style shoot, you know, but for a lot of them, it can be a pain in the ass. And because they're getting asked to do them all the time by all these photographers, and it requires work and time and things, there's a way to do it right. But instead, rather than any of that, I picked up the phone. First off, pick up the phone, you guys. And we're going to come back to that in a minute, Allie, and we need to, but the very first step that I did was I picked up the phone and I just flat out told them exactly what had happened. Hey, my name is Ben Hartley. I'm a photographer here in Columbus, Ohio. And I didn't probably say Columbus, Ohio. I'm a photographer here in town. And I've spent the last week trying to research who is the best damn wedding planner in this whole city. And I have fallen on you. You are hands down the best. And here's why. And then I actually explained the research that I did. It wasn't just lip service, right? I explained the research that I did because of X, Y, Z. And knowing my brand and knowing the type of clients that I attract, I know we're going to be working together. And so I just want to take you out to lunch. Maybe we can grab sushi. And I'd love to learn how I can make sure that when we work together, like we're completely, our brands are aligned and we're elevating each other's businesses.
And what would they say?
They said, yeah. They said, yeah, let's get to lunch, right? Like, it's like, again, it's not just flattery. It's not like, hey, you're amazing. You're the best in town. Like, I get those SEO calls, right? Like, I always get that call from the SEO guy from, like, India who's like, I've been looking at your work, and, you know, I can tell you're really talented. I'm like, no, you haven't. Because I actually gave credentials behind it. I explained why. And the big thing was I wanted to talk about how we could elevate each other's brand, and I could bring in more clients to them as well, right? And so we met, and we did plan a style shoot, but the style shoot that we planned was so different, Allie, than any other style shoot. Because for most people, the style shoot's goal is to get published, okay? I assembled a style shoot in Columbus with the best of the best vendors that I could find in every kind of niche, but the goal was not to get published. And I made that very clear when I met with every single one of them. The goal that I had when doing the style shoot, and this is why they all accepted, by the way, and the best of the best accepted, the people who are always getting asked to do a style shoot. The reason they accepted was because I explained that I wanted to assemble, I wanted to bring together the best vendors in town that would be the essential dream team. If a bride had every single one of us, their wedding would be, you know, just completely like all tens out the door, right? And I wanted to work together because we're going to be working together in the future, but I wanted to work together. And I wanted to essentially create images that I could hand out to every single person that I meet with to encourage them to hire that person, right? I wanted to create resources that I could push to my brides, but I didn't want just their blanket ones. I wanted actual custom resources that we've made, right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And the goal again was to elevate one another's brand, that the florist would elevate the planner, and that the planner would elevate the, you know, the rental company, and the photographer would come right alongside that as well. And that was a very different pitch. That was a very appealing pitch. That was one that was about brand positioning. And that was one that was about a long-term play, right? Rather than just a short-term win of I got published and style me pretty, who cares, right, in a week. I was all about getting people to come alongside a long-term win. So anyhow.
Yeah, well, okay. So a couple things on that. First of all, the thing I actually love about that is that you could give that advice to 100 photographers, and how many do you think would actually do it, right? It takes work, and not everybody's going to. So maybe a handful would actually take the time to do it. The other thing is, if you are intimidated by starting with the full-on shoot and bringing everybody together, and obviously there's value there, one thing that I've done that's been kind of cool is just working with vendors to, like, one, for example, I've met a lot through the Rising Tide Society, and becoming a local Tuesdays Together leader through the Rising Tide Society has been a really awesome way just to lift up the community, connect everybody, and also set the right tone within the community for positivity. But like one little thing that came out of that was I worked with a florist and designer, and they would basically just bring flowers to my home to make my home pretty. And I would take photos of them that they could use then to elevate their brand. So they would put them on Instagram and they would tag me. They would put them on, you know, different places to kind of bring their brand together. So there's smaller ways to kind of tiptoe into it if you're really intimidated by it. But I think, Ben, what you did is just so right on. And it's something that so few people will actually do. And that's probably why it worked so well for you.
Sure. And you know what, if you are intimidated, if the notion of picking up the phone and essentially cold calling someone makes you nervous, a great tip, by the way, and a great way to stand out is, we're talking about how do you stand out, how do you separate yourself? Like, we have to understand that people are basic. Like, we are so damn basic, Allie. Like, and what I mean is this, like, if someone, and someone did, by the way, recently, like a listener of the SFP audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be as simple as I got a direct message on Instagram with a little video that was like, hey, Ben, thank you so much for everything that you do. I just want you to know that I listen to every word that you say and I appreciate you,
nice.
Right? Now, when that person emails me or calls me or whatever it would be, and they're asking for a favor, they're no longer a stranger. Like, that's to push it further, though, like, I had someone who sent me a package. They sent me, we just had twins, right? Mm-hmm. They sent my wife and I gifts for our twins, someone that I've never met before. A package arrived from them, right?
That's awesome.
Guess who I'm going to call, or who I'm going to pick up the phone to and discuss, who when they ask, hey, Ben, can I pick your brain on some questions on selling albums? Guess who I'm going to, like, give my time to and my attention to and my care to? And so along this line, like, if there is a planner in your area that you're intimidated by, that is you'd like to have a relationship with, like, go and, like, buy them, like, have cupcakes delivered to them. Like, go have, like, drop off flowers to their house. Drop off, like, do the research, understand what that person cares about. Give them that with, like, a little note that says, you know, with introducers who you are, and let them know you're going to call them later this week because you're excited to work with them. And then when you call them and you're like, hey, they're no longer like, who are you? What? They're going to be like, oh, my God, thanks for the ball cap or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, people are so basic. That's like, it's astounding to me how do I put this? I think we just overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
I think we way overcomplicate situations, especially when it's someone in a position that we deem as better than us, like more powerful, more talented, more wealthy.
Sure.
We immediately put ourselves on this, like down in this rut that why would they ever pay attention to us? Dude, we're all just people. Like, and people just want to be, like, known, listened to, heard, cared for, given gifts. Like,
yes,
we're basic.
That's so true. All right, now taking that on, so you've built these relationships, and I'm assuming then you start to actually do weddings with these people. How do you continue the relationship from there? What do you do to continue to serve them?
Not be petty. Let's talk about that for a hot second.
All right, let's do it.
Because I see this all the time. Like, here's the deal. As I talked about this dream team of vendors that I assembled, like, I, by the way, am 100% dedicated to them and them alone, truly, right? When someone comes to me, when a bride comes to me and asks, who do I recommend for flowers? I don't give them 5 recommendations. I don't give them 3 recommendations. I don't give them 2. I give them the one person that I've identified is the one who's attracting my ideal client. They're my dream team vendor. That's who I'm going to give them, right? And I'm dedicated to them. And no matter what, and this is what I mean, because those other vendors, they're going to work with everyone else, and that's okay, right?
Yeah.
That's okay. Like, I think that's one of the things I see happen all the time. I was a part of the photography Facebook group, and someone said, you know, I just went and I did headshots for this planner as a gift to her. And, you know, 3 days later, I saw she posted up some headshots that another photographer did for her. I'm thinking about not giving her the images now. And I was like,
well, that's
okay,
not going to help anything.
Like, you do that. Like, we're so petty sometimes. And so I think that I think so often we are sacrificing again a long-term win for some short-term gain, and it's often our pride getting in the way. And so that's one of the things I just want to encourage you to do is stay faithful, stay loyal to people, keep giving, giving, giving. They're going to work with everyone else under the sun, and that's okay. You're going to keep serving them. And so along that line, like, keep serving them. Keep commenting and sharing and tagging on their posts. Offer to do stuff for them. Like, look, people in the photography industry all the time are talking about how upset they get when people ask them to do free work, right? We're all offended. Like, don't ask me to get free work. Respect my art. Like, I don't know. A bunch of that, right?
Yeah.
And so I understand that, there's something very different when the ball's in your court and when you're the one who's giving the gift rather than asking for the expectation. You know what I'm saying? And so I give gifts to my vendors all the time. I go around, I'll do not just headshots, but like I'll even shoot promo videos for people, right? You guys all know that on your camera, you can slip that thing to the little like video camera mode, and then you can shoot videos. Go shoot videos with your still cameras. I'll do promo videos for my vendors. I'll update their websites. I have a preferred list on my website that's giving backlinks, you know, out to those people. We'll produce actual printed collateral pieces for them to use in their marketing at the next bridal show. And then we're just constantly staying present. I think one of the biggest mistakes, I'll stop my rant here in a minute. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest mistakes that, well, really any business owner makes is they establish relationship. They provide value up front. You know, you move to that new city and you shower people with love. You call them, you meet with them, you buy them lunch, you do a style chew, and then you forget about them for a year. And you think that, well, I already have a relationship with them. Yeah, you did in January. Right. And so we have to continually be present and in front of people and serving them. And so like when I'm driving home from work, I've got a half hour commute. Like I'll just call vendors and just ask, what's the number one project that you're working on right now? And how can I help you accomplish it?
Nice.
Right.
Yeah.
It's staying in front of them and in front of them in a way that I'm always the guy who's trying to give more. I'm always trying to give more than I'm ever receiving.
Yeah. And then I'll also add, kind of going in that line with them, when you actually, I know when I actually work with someone, especially if they've referred me to the wedding, like one example, a wedding planner referred me to an amazing wedding. She did just a beautiful job. And so I offered, we had a couple minutes as I was shooting the details. I just kind of said, hey, do you want to stand in the room that you've created and I'll get a photo of you here, mm-hmm. not just a headshot, but like you all in here. And then I delivered the images to her. And so many people, whether they've built a relationship or it's somebody they've never worked with before, they just don't even think to send anything to these people. And I know this is kind of a topic that comes up a lot in the photography space, but seriously, people still aren't. And you know, it's an extra step that you have to add into your workflow, but they're not sharing. They're just not even sharing anything. That's such a lost opportunity to close that yeah. loop and get, you know, continue to add value. So that's another thing.
Here's one more random. I just thought yeah. of, is a great way to provide value to vendors. Like we could talk about bridal shows for a minute, but let's say that you believe that bridal shows are a waste of money, time, your ideal client's not there, you're not going to do them, right? I think you'd be wrong. But let's say that that's what you believe and you don't do bridal shows to attract clients. Go to the bridal show anyhow. Bring your kid, go to it as a guest and bring your camera and go around to all the vendors' booths and photograph them at their booth. Photograph the thing that they've spent all this time and energy creating and deliver those images to all those vendors that you want to work with. Like, and just do it, it'll cost $5 to get into the show. And go and just take pictures for people. Anyhow.
That's interesting. Yeah. I will admit, I've not been to a bridal show since I was a bride, and that was in Chicago. So I've never... I've never actually done one. So that's interesting. Okay. Last question. So Ben, how do you, I know this might be tricky, but you're doing all these things. You just said you use that downtime to call vendors and keep in touch with them, build that relationship, continue the relationship. But how do you, when you're running this business and you're shooting and you're editing and you're running the business, where does marketing fit in? How do you schedule it into your day? How does that, like, what does your week look like? How do you focus on different aspects of marketing within your business?
Well, there's two different things we have to kind of be aware of. There's like active marketing, and then there's just very like, it's not passive marketing, but it's more patient. And, you know, patient marketing is the word of mouth stuff. And mm-hmm. so to answer that question, like, the patient kind of marketing, I'll kind of get to that first. That just, it's just always going on. It's the continual thing. It's the drip campaign. It's just like the constant, you have clients, it's them, it's delivering to them. It's getting albums in people's homes, all that kind of stuff, right? You're not actively on like this marketing campaign necessarily. It is just occurring. And so then, as far as active marketing goes, active marketing is going to be when you actually like you set aside a time, a goal, an objective. There's an intentional push towards something, and so we just try to, as far as active marketing goes, create three or four kind of, I guess, hard push campaigns that we'll do once a quarter, right? So. Total for a year, one a quarter. Does that make sense? So, for example, something like a bridal show. We may do a bridal show. And for us, you may think of that as that's just one day. Well, then you're doing it wrong, would be the next thing that I would have to say. For us, when we do a bridal show, it's going to be probably about a 3-week length of time that we're going to be really invested in the marketing effort that comes behind that. Another example of something that we just finished up here for our first quarter is we wanted to go, and we just called it a field day, and we wanted to list off the top 40 vendors that we just wanted to go and bless. And this is a very direct, active thing that we did, and we set aside 3 days of the week. We hired the best florist in town to create custom floral pieces. Like, I don't know, I'm not sure what the right word is. You know, just for your table.
Yeah. I'm like, what do you call that? Centerpieces.
Yeah, like a little centerpiece, maybe, right? we hired the best florist in town to create 40 of them, and then we drove around and dropped them all off to these 40 vendors. Just because we're thinking of them. And then it didn't just stop there. We then also asked them the question again, what is one of the biggest projects that you're working right now? And how can we help you solve that problem? How can we help you accomplish it? And so that in itself resulted in, well, now we're doing courtyard shots for the Museum of Art. Now we're doing a little sizzle video for, you know, the dress shop down the town. Now we're going to be doing headshots for the conservatory. Now we're going to, and it's resulted in a ton of work, a ton of technically, you know, quote unquote free work. But yeah, that's just not the way I see it. It's not free work. I understand that I'm in an active marketing campaign. And while there's not dollars coming in, there will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. It's so different. I mean, what you're doing is so not completely different from what I'm doing, but like the way you're going about it is it's tangibly different. And again, it's something that I think if you look at the whole crowd of everybody out there, a lot of people are going to hear this advice and be like, no, I'm just not going to do that. But if you actually take the time and you set out a plan and you take that action and do it, there's so many rewards to that. And I've definitely seen that in similar things. You know, I haven't done exactly that in my own business, but doing similar things has definitely worked really well. So put in the effort. That's how you get the outcomes that you're looking for in the end. All right.
Sure.
So, Ben, if you were just going to either, you know, give a little piece of advice, like a takeaway that someone could put into action, or tell us if you would have done something differently in your business, what do you want to leave listeners with today?
Yeah. I think the biggest takeaway, and this statement is true of everything that I've been talking about and everything that I've done, and I think it's something that I wish I would have recognized sooner. I recognized it pretty early on, but I wish I would have recognized it to the fullest extent that I do now. EQ is everything. No one gives a rip about your IQ. And when I say that, what I mean is the barrier to entry for photography as a skill, as a technical craft, is not just low now, but it's going to be even lower tomorrow and even lower the next day. We're going to continually be able to make really great images. And what is going to separate you from everyone else is no longer going to be about the quality of your pictures. And while that is a controversial topic, I understand that there's the eye of the artist behind things. You're dealing with an incredibly sophisticated piece of equipment with photography, and you're selling it to an incredibly unsophisticated audience, to a consumer who doesn't quite understand all that. They look at a picture and they go, huh, yeah, sweet. The thing that will separate you from everyone else is EQ, is empathy. It's being able to look someone in the eyes and carry conversation. It's not just understanding that you have to pick up the phone. It's actually getting excited about the opportunity at the other end of the phone, of giving a shit about another human being, about asking genuine, real questions, about caring for your client. That is truly everything. It's really everything in business. If you want to win in business, you have to understand that it is entirely about EQ. And the really exciting thing, by the way, Allie, is while IQ is pretty hard to move, it's pretty hard to go one way or the other. It's generally, not, by this point in life, you know, I'm 30, it's not fixed, but if I want to move it, it's going to take a lot of work. The really exciting thing is that it's not the same case for your EQ. If you want to start really investing time into growing your emotional intelligence and your care and your empathy towards people, you can do it today. Like, you can 100% practice this and get better at it, because if you want to be in business, you're going to need to do it. Like, yeah. Gone are the days of being able to send out an email and hide behind a text message. It's still win, right? It's really exciting, actually, the time of day that we live in, because I think we've come full circle two decades ago, we didn't have email. Maybe it had just started, right? Mm-hmm. And business operated off of EQ, business operated off of service and a handshake, and actually being true to your word and being able to communicate with other human beings and being able to relate your family to their family and your past experiences to their past experiences. And that's what brought about an end result. That's what got you a client. And then two decades ago, email got introduced. And for the last two decades, we've been practicing hiding. We've been practicing how do I serve someone, quote unquote, serve someone, through, you know, efficiency and simplicity and speed, but it's left us now of two decades out of practice of actual human connection. And now when I say we've come full circle, social has actually brought it back, because now the thing that is going to be at the forefront of every single platform in 2017 moving on is live content. And live content has the magical ability to put you and your personality like right back in front of someone's face. And it gets me excited. It gets me excited. I love the fact that everything that's going to be winning from this point on is going to be about live content, and it's going to be about human interaction. And in a different way, but we've come back, and I'm so glad that we have.
And I feel like here we could go into a whole other topic on live content.
Yeah.
Oh, last thing that I want to say, going back to EQ, and you were talking about, you know, a photo's a photo. Maybe yours won't stand out necessarily when somebody looks at yours versus another as the technology gets easier, et cetera, et cetera. But the other thing that I find is that with working with your clients, the way that they feel about a photo is not driven by obviously you want quality photos as a baseline, but the way that someone feels about a photo is very much driven by the way that they felt when that photo was taken. So 100%. The experience that they had with you, the interactions that they had with you. So it's, if you know, in terms of referrals, it's not just about you took this beautiful photo, but you posed them in a way that they felt really awkward and uncomfortable and et cetera. It's about making them feel really good about that moment. And they look back and they feel those feelings that went with it. So anyway, Side note, side tangent. There you go.
And how do you do that? You do that by actually understanding what they care about. And the only way that you do that is by having actual conversations.
Yeah, definitely. There are a lot of opportunities. You're right. When I do get on the phone with people, and I'm going to say right now, like, I'm probably one of those people that in a lot of ways hides behind email, you know, just from an efficiency standpoint, because I have like a lot of automation and things that do really work. And a lot of that, I'm going to just like, I'll say right now, a lot of the automation and the emails, they work really well if you do it in the right way, where you use photos of yourself and you use a personal voice and you use videos and things like that. But there's obviously a mix. Like at some point, it's nice to talk to people and build those relationships. So Ben, where can people find you and get more from you?
Yeah, for sure. So you can head over to sixfigurephotography.com. One of the best things actually to do will be, I've got a dope newsletter that I really respect. I think I just give out amazing thoughts on all of the very practical stuff that you guys can be doing to grow your business. And so I'd encourage you to check that out. It's sixfigurephotography.com/newsletter. And so there's that. If you want to see our work from the photography studio, that's at stylestorycreative.com.
Nice. Ben, thank you. I am excited to keep listening to your podcast. So listeners, definitely go check it out. And I'll put all these links in the show notes too. So you can go to photofieldnotes.com and get those. And Ben, good luck with those twins. I am wishing for sleep for you. And if not sleep, enjoy the coffee.
Third cup today. Allie, thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.